Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, sweetheart.
Hi, Jamie.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, everybody who's not us, welcome to episode 14. Pardon us while we talk amongst ourselves here at the beginning of the episode. Episode 14. Wow, how exciting.
Very.
Yeah, we want to welcome our new listeners, thank our new supporters. We had a cool new supporter this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So exciting. I love it. New supporters coming all the time, and it's just really meaningful.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It is really meaningful.
Thank you.
Yes.
Every time, it's funny, we get a little notification every time someone signs up to be a supporter of the podcast, and every single time we get one, I'm like, aw.
Totally. You know?
Like,
I know.
I feel really, like, surprised and moved. Like, I never expect them to come, and then when they come, I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you, all of you who've been with us from the beginning and have joined this journey along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You are making this possible, this thing that we do. And it means a lot to us to have your support.
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
And for people who are like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? This podcast is brought to you by our Misfit Stars supporting members, right? So people who support the podcast by signing up for it at misfitstars.com and clicking on the second big pink button there, they make this possible. They make it happen. And they also support the other sketchy endeavors that Shannon and I are engaged in our day-to-day lives.
They are our stars.
Yeah, you're supporting our art, our music, our community building, all that stuff.
Yes, all of that stuff. Thank you so much. And if you are not a member and you're listening and you're thinking, hey, that I want to support that kind of stuff that
first of all,
Jamie
thanks.
And Shannon are doing. Yeah, thank you. And if you want to do that, what you do is you go to misfitstars.com. That is the online home of our podcast.
That's right.
And there are two big pink buttons on the home screen, one of which, the second of which, says unlock all episodes. Mm-hmm. And what that does, if you click that, it takes you to the page where you can sign up to become a member.
It's easy.
And part of the thing, why the reason it says unlock all episodes is that every other episode of this podcast is a members exclusive episode.
Yeah.
And once you become a member, all the previously locked episodes become available to you. And of course, all those coming in the future will also be available to you.
For some reason, for a number of podcast episodes, I got into a thing where I was not pronouncing the X in exclusive and I was saying member exclusive.
I think that's
like
great.
Like I had a stroke. But they're not member exclusive episodes. I'm not drunk.
Thank God.
I have full control of my motor skills here. I just want everyone to know that.
Uh-huh.
They are members exclusive episodes.
Yes.
I want to be super clear about that.
So a bit later today in this episode, we're going to be getting into a listener topic from Terry about our creative processes, which is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Terry is one of our stars.
Yes,
we take all of our listener topics from our community of Misfit Stars. And so we just have a running list of things that folks in that group have suggested they want to hear us talk about. And so we're going to tackle Terry's today.
I love it.
Woo!
I appreciate how, surely as a result of being married to me for nearly a decade, you have started to pronounce certain words in the way I pronounce
them. Oh, no. Like what?
Like our. You just said our.
Our?
Not our.
Our.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
You are.
Well, you can
You're getting
sure,
a Vermont accent.
No, I'm not. You can be sure I'm never going to say carrot or...
Farhead. Orange.
Or room.
Room. Yeah, but what do you walk into through a door? It's a room.
It's
Come
a
on.
Room.
I know. It's funny. Like, I'm educated. I'm literate. You know, I've lived in cities for my entire adult life, but still, like, there's a little teeny tiny bit of Vermont that creeps into my accent, and it's just the way it is.
That's you know? Okay. It's
endearing. I have been working to ameliorate it for literally a quarter of a century.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's mostly gone, but sometimes little tiny bits will poke out.
This is funny, actually, because I think this in some way, like, foreshadows part of our conversation coming up later in this podcast, because, like what is normal when it comes to like English pronunciation in America, right?
Right?
Because there are all sorts of different, you know, ways that people talk in different parts of the country.
I think,
and yet you've been trying to normalize, quote unquote, normalize your language to what, like a, is it like a West Coast standard of English pronunciation?
Maybe
Hollywood.
I think maybe for anyone who has a regional accent, there's exactly two ways it breaks down. You're either inordinately proud of it or you want to get rid of it.
But I think it's interesting to think about, like...
It's probably California.
What is normal? And because that's like, I mean, it's our television shows and movies, a lot of... Maybe that's why? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what... Interesting conversation.
I have adopted a lot of the California lingo, you know? I still say rad and stoked a lot.
Well, yeah.
Despite never having surfed.
Because, well... Because it's fun to say those words.
It is.
Rad words.
And I am stoked when I say them.
Oh, no. So what did we get into this week?
Oh, man. Hey, we picked up the little Moog from the doctor.
The synthesizer
our
doctor.
Our little baby 40-plus-year-old analog synthesizer.
It's working so much better now.
Oh, it sounds great. The guy did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he tuned it. Like, you can tune these things. It would not, I mean, there's like a tuning knob on the front to tune the whole thing at once. But then, like, you can make sure that, like, when you play a C an octave up from the previous C, like, it's in tune with that note.
What's funny to me is that I never knew that that was actually a thing. I thought, oh, well, if it's made with, like, you know, electronics, clearly C is always going to be C, but it can go out of tune.
The heck no.
It's funny because, I mean, it's not an acoustic instrument. Mm-mm. And so I thought, of course it's always going to be right.
Yeah. They're only always right when they have a computer in them.
Got it.
But when it's just electronics, they can drift. There can be variability in the component.
That's wild.
I'm sure this is so interesting to our listeners.
Yeah.
unsubscribe.
Oh, no. Well, the thing that I did this week, I spent hours and hours on my laptop this week prepping all of our materials for our upcoming house concert tour, like prepping all the materials for our hosts.
I mean, dozens of hours.
Lots and lots of hours.
Complete overhaul.
I always do little changes to our house concert host guide, but I did like a major one this year, just kind of, you know, using the things that we've learned over the last few years of how we could maybe better communicate, you know, how this all works to people who are interested in, you know, putting on a house concert with us. So it was actually really rewarding because I got the whole thing done and now it's just in the bag and we're not going to be looking for hosts for like another month or so.
It's so great.
But it just is just done. And so that I can focus, I can turn my focus for the rest of the next month onto creative endeavors. I need to write a record. I'll be starting that really soon.
That's crazy.
And so I
don't, so excited to hear it.
Well, yeah, I know, me too, right?
I'm so excited to make it.
I won't have to be thinking about these like to-do things that I have to do when I make that move into the creative thing. So that'll be fun. What else have you done?
What else? Oh, you know, well, we took a proactive day off before burning out.
We did. That was really good. Really good of us. Like before getting to the point where we wanted to strangle each other, we're like, how about a day off? We've worked several days in a row now.
Yeah. We had a date.
We should take some time off.
We went on a date.
It was great.
We went to the coffee shop with books and we read books in the coffee shop, which was wonderful.
It was wonderful.
I got educated by the barista on star anise. How do you pronounce that word? I've only ever read it. I'm not sure.
Anise. Star anise. I think is how you say it.
Got it. Yeah. Side note, never make fun of anyone for mispronouncing a word because it means they learned it from reading.
That's right.
But it's a beautiful fruit. Holy cow. I had no idea. She's like, you should see it. They had it there. They have it to grate on top of drinks. They have a little tiny like nutmeg grater that they use to grate nutmeg onto our drinks. And I was like, wow, how cool. She's like, no, you don't even know. We do this with star anise.
Oh,
you should look up a picture of it. They were out at the moment. She couldn't show me.
How cool.
It's the neatest thing. It's it's got eight star points, it's like a sun. It's like a kid would draw a sun. Mm-hmm. And each of those is a pod, not unlike a green bean, that has a single sort of brown bean thing inside of it.
Nifty.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Nature's cool.
And then we went to dinner, and then went to the movies.
We saw the Lego movie. It was so great.
I love it.
I saw someone's tweet about it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of ours. She said something about how the Lego movie 2 is a pop. Wait, what did she say? A poptimistic.
Yeah.
Poptimistic screed against toxic masculinity.
I love it.
I was like, it's bang on.
That's our buddy Evie. Good job, Evie.
It was wonderful. The little Lego guy, the builder that was the lead in Lego is back. And he's the character that's sort of like dealing with this idea of what growing up means for a man, a boy, you know, and
What society expects you to be.
Yeah, it was really lovely.
As it was. It was really, really sweet.
And I've had the theme song, the credits theme song, stuck in my head.
And of course,
all
by the way,
week.
And by the way, side note, it's the women who save the day in this Lego movie.
It totally is.
Yeah, they save him from his worst impulses and redirect him back onto a better path. It's really good.
it was a really fun movie. So, what else have you been doing?
I started pre-production and demoing with this artist who I just love so much. His name is Johnny. He lives in Austin. He's so good. He's
wonderful.
He's wonderful. I've been working with him in various incarnations of what he does musically for almost a decade. I did some mixing and then mastered a record for a band of his back in like 2011 or something.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, 2012 well, maybe? 12.
Okay, so it's like been forever. 7 years. Yeah, been
That's
many,
a
many
long
years.
Time.
It is a long time.
Right? And I mean, is it like,
a
quarter of his life ago? How wild is that?
Yeah, he's a great songwriter.
He's a great
I just
songwriter.
Love his songs.
Yeah.
I'm excited that he's doing another solo project.
He's really in touch with his emotions, and he has a really good way of articulating. He has a really good way of connecting me with previous pieces of myself.
Aw.
You know? And that's just so magical to me when that happens. And he wants me to help him with his record, which is just... You know, it's funny. It's like when people subscribe to the podcast. I never expect it. And whenever someone reaches out to me, I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's really
it's
cool.
Great. Man, you know, people have been coming out of the woodwork to want to do little cool projects
with me
lately, which is nifty. I just had someone else reach out to me last night about mixing a record, and that's cool.
Yep.
Going to do that.
Yay.
Some people from Sacramento. The main guy is... one of those wonderful people who we've met in person but only in passing but have become pretty good friends with on the internet just because he's a wonderful guy and he interacts with us and it's just a pleasure and now I'm doing some art with him and it's just the coolest thing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Last night we went to like a community sponsored event.
Yeah.
Like it was partially sponsored by the public TV station here in Tacoma and then also by the Hilltop Action Committee, which is just a local neighborhood organization for the Hilltop neighborhood.
East of us, but we got invited by our community.
By our central Tacoma neighborhood community.
Yeah.
And they did a film screening and discussion afterwards, and that was really fun.
It was really cool.
This movie called Quest, which is a documentary that follows this family in North Philadelphia for a number of years.
Almost a decade,
It was really, really good. It was neat. We met some cool people, had some cool conversations afterwards.
It was very, very grassroots community feeling. It was really nifty.
Yeah, I hope we get to do more stuff like that.
Yeah, and we were in the kind of room that makes me feel so incredibly comfortable. And it's funny because I never really like foreground this, but whenever I walk into a room where I am a minority, I feel so comfortable. And I don't know what's up with that, but it's like this thing. Like I love being... in a room where there are fewer white people and like more people of color. And just like there were Asian people and Latino people and black people. And it's just a good, healthy mix. And it just, rooms like that have a really vibrant, healthy feeling for me. And I really love them.
Cool.
And
yeah, it was a neat night.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And that kind of segues in
Are you going to do the segue?
I'll do a little segue.
Do the segue.
I'll do a toss.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we wanted to talk about, how do we get into this?
Well, you know, here's how we got into this. First of all, last week in our podcast, we touched the third rail and talked about politics and how specifically in your relationship with your family, your parents specifically, how sort of a political divide has been a real challenge over the last couple of years and how so you have found a way sort of through that and
how to navigate those waters.
Yeah. And it was a really good discussion. Part of our discussion last week was then, you know, the acknowledgement that like, yes, there's a political divide but some of those things that we're quote unquote divided about are issues that... that really do matter and that we do need to take up conversations about.
Yeah, we can't just blow them off.
Yeah, and so, you know, and I feel like part of, I think, what led into the topic we chose for this week was this idea that, like, if we want to say that we're serious about, you know, working toward a better society, then we need to get our skin in the game and talk about these things more frequently. So that was on my mind.
Yep.
And then, like the next day, I saw a meme that a friend had posted in a Facebook group that I'm part of that she started.
I'm a part of that group too.
Oh, you're part of it too. Yes.
Yeah.
So this wonderful friend of ours back east who has been a house concert host for a number of years.
And just now a dear friend.
Yes. She started a number of years ago, right after the Trayvon Martin murder in Florida. She started a group in her community called Conversations About Race because it was apparent, it became apparent to a lot of people in that time that we needed to be talking more about what race means in our society.
Yeah.
And I'm in awe of our friend who did this,
seriously,
who started this group. She's a person of color. She's married to a man who's a person of color. And they live in a predominantly white area.
Yeah.
And she, on a monthly basis, invites people into her home to come have honest conversations. And we've heard reports from her about some of the conversations they've had. They get deep. They get...
Yeah. It gets frictive.
Frictive sometimes.
Yeah.
But like, I so much admire her willingness to continue to go there.
Just over and over and over and over and over.
So great.
Because she has described some of these conversations, and some of them have sounded just not just frustrating, but also like demoralizing, demeaning. So bad.
Yeah.
You know, and just so ugly feeling. And then she just like goes right back to that same well the following month and gets back in, dips for more water. And that's just so admirable to me.
And also that the people in the group keep showing up too. So even if they're having, you know, I wish we lived closer so we could go to these meetings. Yeah. I would love it. But she started a Facebook group for sort of like an online continuing discussion of some of these ideas.
Yeah.
And she posted a meme in that group, which was sort of the inspiration for the topic of today's podcast. The meme says 10 ways white people can celebrate Black History Month. And by the way, happy Black History Month.
Yeah.
The month of February.
I'm wearing my Black Lives Matter shirt right now.
You are.
Yeah.
It's like the uniform for today's podcast.
That's right.
And there were some really great ideas in this meme. Do you want to start by reading?
Yeah, sure.
There's 10.
Why don't we alternate?
Okay, go ahead.
Good. The first one says, donate money to a Black woman's self-care fund. Tell no one.
I love that. Tell no one.
Right? So you're not virtue signaling. You're not just using that person to make yourself look cool.
Look at me. I'm a... Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Number two, buy books by Black authors. Read them. Don't just keep them on your shelf, people.
Buying them is good. It's a start. It's a start. It's not the whole piece of the puzzle.
But I love that.
Yeah. Not the whole puzzle, really, is what I meant to say. Yeah. Next one. List 10 ways you personally benefit from privilege. Share this meme and your list on social media.
Let's put a pin in that one.
Yep, that's foreshadowing.
We're going to come back to that one in just a second.
Yep.
The next one. Watch 5 movies in which white people are not the hero.
Right?
Amazing. Yes.
Yeah. Next one. Download Layla F. Sods. Her name is Layla, middle initial F, last name Saad, White Supremacy and Me workbook.
That's a book actually that I've been meaning to read.
Yep.
Well,
it's a workbook.
I want to pick that one up.
You can download it. It's not a book.
Oh, it's a download.
It's a downloadable work. It's a workbook.
Well, that's nifty.
Yeah.
The next one is ask your faith organization to stop ignoring race. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. Next one, educate yourself on the BLM movement.
Black Lives Matter.
Like my shirt. To separate fact from fiction. And hey, speaking of a very simple fact from fiction kind of thing, let's just be super clear about this. It doesn't mean only Black Lives Matter. It means Black Lives Matter, two. Right? But right. Black Lives Matter 2 is not a catchy slogan or name for an organization, so they called it Black Lives Matter. Let's not be dumbasses about this.
Right.
Cool. Moving on.
I feel like we could have a whole discussion about that.
Bad faith mischaracterization of this organization.
Yeah. It is important to say that Black Lives Matter because
it's not commonly understood in this country that they do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, great. The next one, is it me or you? I can't even remember. It's me. When talking with people of color, listen more than you talk.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. It's funny. We went to that movie thing last night, and so they showed the film, and then they had like 4 little separate breakout discussions afterwards, each centered around one topic.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. Like, we walked into a group, and my intention was like, I walked into the group that had like the most Black people because I wanted to listen.
Yeah.
You know? But then they kind of did like a go around the table thing. And like, right as we walked up, just based on where we insert ourselves in the group,
next.
I was the first person asked. I was like, well, God damn it. This is not what I want. I wanted to listen.
Yeah. Well, I guess it probably didn't occur to you in the moment because it was, you know, just
I also don't want to be rude.
Putting on the spot.
Because the woman who asked me was like a Black woman asked me, what do you think? And I'm like, well, that's cool. Okay, if I'm invited in, I'm not going to be you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like just dumb about it.
But we ended up having great conversations. Okay, moving on. The last one is make a purchase or many purchases from Black-owned small businesses.
Yep.
I love that.
Yeah.
So this is the meme that inspired today's topic. And we're circling back to that one we put a pin in where it says list 10 ways you personally benefit from privilege and share this meme and that list on social media. And I almost did that. And I'm like, oh, actually,
what if we did a whole pod about it?
Did a podcast on that topic where we talked about ways in which we benefit from privilege.
We will see your social media post and raise you a podcast episode.
That's right. That's right. But this is a really, this is an important conversation. Yeah. It's something that's become really important to me over the last few years. And I'm glad that we're having this conversation. I'm glad we have an opportunity to have this conversation and to do it sort of as a celebration of Black History Month.
Yeah, it's absolutely
sort of neat to tie it all in. So,
there's an article on this that Shannon, subsequent to this conversation that started this, showed me that was helpful enough in informing Shannon's thinking about this topic that she shared it with me, and then we decided that we wanted to use it as a framework for our discussion today. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, this is a jumping off point, really. And yes, so a couple of years ago, at the beginning of 2017, I found this really great resource. It was a And then now I can't remember the name of
it. It was called The Complicity Cleanse.
The Complicity Cleanse. That's right. That's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the catchy name, but there, that's what it was. And it was, you know how they do like cleanse diets where they're like for the next 21 days, they give you a menu of things that you should eat to cleanse your body
that's
of whatever
right.
toxins.
There's juice and there's cayenne.
Yeah. So this was a Complicity Cleanse. The idea was for 21 days, they were going to give you a menu of items to read or things to watch that would help you become aware of sort of maybe toxic social ideas you had about race or about bigotry or about misogyny in our culture, patriarchy, you know, all these things. And it was, oh my gosh, it blew me away. It was a great resource. And one of the things, go ahead.
Well, the idea about it that I think is so revolutionary is this idea that like you can be a good person, a progressive person, like, you, Shannon Curtis, are one of the most caring, outwardly looking, progressively minded people I know, and maybe even on the planet, you know? And the idea is that even if we are that way, we are still complicit in a lot of these systems that oppress people of color.
Right. And it wasn't just even people of color.
Right.
It was a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
But you're right. No, and these were things that I had, you know, the stuff that I learned going through this 21-day menu. And by the way, I didn't finish it in 21 days because...
A lot of reading.
It was a lot to digest. Yeah. It took me much longer than that. But a lot of the things that I learned were brand new to me.
Yeah.
You know, because of the place in which I was born, the body into which I was born, mm-hmm. you know, the circumstances of my life that I didn't have any choice in at all... made it so that I was just unaware of so many of these things that I had previously been unaware of.
Seriously, being born into a middle-class white family in America is like winning the lottery three times in a row.
Right, and an able-bodied body.
There's so many things, right?
So this particular article that I shared with you, Jamie, was one of the resources that really stuck out to me as being really sort of helpful in formulating my thinking about this idea of white privilege, which I had never really considered before. And this is a word that I think deserves to be like, or this is a phrase rather, that deserves to be sort of like, let's define what it is and what it isn't, right? Like, I feel like in conversations, especially on social media, like when people say the words white privilege, there's a certain portion of the population who are like, what do you mean? I'm not privileged. I was born in poverty, just like, you know, these people here. I didn't, you know, like
I worked for everything I got.
I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Right.
I don't have white privilege.
Right.
And that's not what this phrase is referring to.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's important to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. So come back to this woman. We haven't even really talked about her yet, but the person who wrote this essay, her name is Peggy McIntosh, and she was, maybe still is, I don't even really know.
I don't even know.
She wrote this article in 1986 when she was doing...
88.
88, right. And she was a professor at Wellesley College.
And she was a women's studies professor.
Yeah, right.
So she was coming at this from the perspective of, she has done a lot of work studying male privilege.
Yeah.
As it relates to women's studies, right? That there is this, you know, unearned advantage that people who are males in our society have.
It's true. Just by virtue of the difference in our gender, I can readily do more things than you can do, Shannon.
In our current society.
That's just the way that works.
I get
looked at more seriously. Like if you and I were both applying for like a management job somewhere, I would have an inherent advantage because I'm a guy and that's just all there is to it. It's really screwed up.
Yeah.
But that's how it is.
And like pay disparity and all that kind of stuff. You know, we've heard about all these things. So she was a women's studies professor, but she had looked at the idea of male privilege, but then she turned what she had learned about that onto the idea of racial inequity and the idea that people who are born with white skin have unearned advantages just because they were born into white skin in this society as well, this thing that we call white privilege.
Yeah, and right? So she wrote this sort of, at the time, groundbreaking essay about this, in which she contextualized it with some writing, and then she made a list, a 50-item long list of ways that in which she is complicit in white privilege, right, in which it benefits her.
Right.
And so as a framework for our discussion today, we thought that it would be cool to, first of all, just give a little context from her essay, and then use stuff from her list that, like, inspired us, and then kind of reflect on how that sort of manifests itself in our lives.
Right. So the whole essay is called something like Unpacking the Knapsack of White Privilege,
yeah.
Which she has a quote in here that we'll get to that sort of explains
momentarily.
That.
Yeah. So do you want to just like alternate paragraphs?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So we're just going to read a little bit from this essay by Peggy McIntosh, and she starts, "I was taught to see racism only in individual acts of meanness, not in invisible systems conferring dominance on my group."
Right, totally. Like, I feel like I learned growing up that racism is when you use, you know, bad words to call people with different skin color, a name.
Or, yeah, and that's kind of where it ends.
Yeah, or like, you know, acts of violence against people because of their skin color.
Yeah. Like don't use the N-word, don't do any lynching, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, that's what racism is. And
if you don't do those things, you're not racist.
Right, yeah. Turns out.
So, moving on. As a white person, I realized I had been taught about racism as something that puts others at a disadvantage, but had been taught not to see one of its corollary aspects, white privilege, which puts me at an advantage.
Right. So, like, it's easy to see, like, okay, we live in a society where there's racism, and that you know, there are people who are affected in a disadvantageous kind of way because of that. Oh, those poor people. Without ever looking at the idea, at the flip side of that coin, which says that people who are not part of that social group actually have advantage than if there are people who are disadvantaged because of those factors, right?
I kind of like this. It's like I'm doing the play-by-play and you're doing the color commentary.
I love it.
Yeah. So kind of moving on. I think whites are carefully taught not to recognize white privilege. Again, I'm reading now again from Peggy McIntosh's essay. I think whites are carefully taught not to recognize white privilege. I have come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets that I can count on cashing in each day, but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible, weightless knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, codebooks, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks.
I think it's such a useful analogy.
How powerful.
And it's revolutionary to like think about this idea that like this is like for most of my life, I was not aware of this thing that I had on my back called white privilege.
Yeah.
But that's because it's designed to work that way, right? Like I'm not meant to recognize.
You know how in a video game, like you start off with nothing and you go around, you collect the stuff you need to make it work. Like you collect a machete, you collect a gun, you collect some bullets, you collect dynamite, whatever it is. And then you can go do the stuff you have to accomplish in the game.
Right.
White privilege is like starting the game with all of the stuff.
Right. Hey, Jamie, why is the audio all fading out and stuff?
Well, Shannon, everything's fading out because this is a member exclusive episode of Misfit Stars.
Hey, good job pronouncing member exclusive. I know that's been a challenge for you. Is it member exclusive episode? Does that mean that only members get to hear the rest of it?
You ask a leading question, but yes. Yes, that is what it means.
Well, so what if there's somebody listening who is like, well, dang, I'm not a member, but I want to hear the rest of this very intriguing, interesting sounding episode. How do they do that?
Okay, first of all, you're right. This is a great episode. I think like it's sensitive material, but I feel like we did a pretty good job of tackling it in an equitable way.
We did our very best.
That's the goal, yeah.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is you go to misfitstars.com, click on the second big pink button that says unlock all episodes. You will be taken to the page where you can make it happen. It's really easy. It's not expensive. It's a way to support us in what we do. And we would be so honored if you do that. And also it would help us.
Yeah. You help us do this podcast. And then you also just help us do in general the stuff that we do in this world. And we would be so, so grateful if you joined and became one of our Misfit Stars.
Yeah, a star.
Yeah, star. You'd be a star.
That's what we call them.
You go to misfitstars.com and you get her done.
Yeah, so thanks a lot. We hope you have a great day. And please go sign up and listen to the rest of this episode. I think it's really good.
See you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.